Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, it's a Wednesday here on The Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio, I am in Orchard Park as I am usually on a Wednesday. When the Bills play on Sunday, I'm generally down here on a Wednesday for the show. Joe is in our Duntire Studios in Amherst. The Bills will have practice just about maybe a couple football fields away from me. I'm in the stadium right now in the radio broadcast booth, but they will be outside the AdPro Sports Training Center. A beautiful day, Joe. It is gorgeous out here today. Mm-hmm. It's going to be close to 70 today and tomorrow. I remember when Von Miller signed, and he said maybe a week or two later, or maybe during OTAs, it was like one of those April windy, chilly days. And he's like, yeah, I guess I didn't realize how windy and chilly it was this time of year. And I'm thinking, you know what, though? You're going to be surprised how nice it is sometime in the year, too. I think today's those days. One of those days, Von and some other guys might be like, hey, this is Buffalo. It's 70 here in September.
He probably walked outside.
October.
He probably walked outside today in that astronaut-looking suit that Beyonce sent him. And was like, wow, it's really nice out today. 70 degrees,
That's
and it's
right.
October 5th. Yeah, this is, and we'll talk more with Pat Hammer on Friday with weather stuff. The next week, like I've golfed back-to-back days. It's October, and I have clear sailing for, you know, squeeze nine holes in almost every day for the next week,
nice.
I think. So it looks really nice.
Nice. We can never really play together because, like, we do this show, and then the one day I'm off, you're on.
Yeah.
You're off, I'm on. You know what I mean?
You can probably figure it out
Can't
somewhere.
Really do that.
I
played yesterday. I didn't play that well yesterday. It was okay. Played okay, but it had been like over a month since I played anyway. Over a month, I think.
The game on Sunday, too, Bills fans that are going to be in the stadium, I mean, it's going to be the most gorgeous day we've had.
Yeah.
Washington was okay last year, wasn't it? The home game against Washington?
No, it was super windy, though.
It was windy.
Super windy.
Okay, so...
Yeah, it was like 35-mile-an-hour winds.
All right, let's figure this out. When's the last gorgeous day in the stadium? Like, gorgeous. Last year, maybe there wasn't one. And then,
With fans. It's been a while, because I will tell you, Joe, it was gorgeous for Seattle. It was gorgeous for the Rams.
Yeah,
and even the opener against the Jets that year, it looked like it was really bad, and then it cleared up and became a great day, that opener, but there were no fans.
Right. So the last time with fans, I mean, I'm looking at the 2019 games now, and like this is going to be reaching really deep in the memory, but Denver late November, that couldn't have been that great, right? Washington midseason, definitely not that Eagle game. I remember that Eagle game as being maybe the windiest game that I remembered until, you know, maybe last season. There's a Miami game in there with Fitz, Cincy, New England.
I mean, you got that Baltimore game at home they lost wasn't horrible, right?
Yeah.
It was colder.
That was December.
It was cold, though. It was cold. You're right. Denver... You got to go back.
You got to go beginning of that season.
You know what? I'll tell you what it was. I think it was Dwayne Haskins' first start against the Redskins November 3rd.
Which, by the way, I had a tweet earlier in the week. I was looking up like a list of like, okay, Pickett's going to make his first NFL start in Buffalo. What are the other quarterbacks in NFL history that have made their first ever start in Buffalo that aren't Bills? And the late Dwayne Haskins is the last one to do it, which was against McDermott's Bills a couple years ago. Before that, you have to go back to Kellen Moore in 2015. Remember that late season game, Bills and Cowboys? I don't think there was much on the line for either team. And then before that, you've got to go back to 1993 when Drew Bledsoe made his first NFL start in Buffalo for the Patriots.
Amazing. I'm looking at the game book from that Washington game when they came in. Actually, it was only 42 degrees, winds 18 miles per hour, continued cloudy, no chance of rain. It was fine. It was a fine day. Actually, Joe, I will tell you, though, last Monday night, the opener was really nice, even though it was a night game. It was really nice. The game against the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't think there were any issues there, but you're right. The gorgeous, the sunshine. And we'll get with Pat Hammer on Friday. He'll give us an updated weather forecast for Sunday. It's actually ticking up in temperature, too, I believe. It was supposed to be like 55. Now I'm seeing 57. Even saw one of the weather forecasts put it like 62. So it's starting to tick up a little bit.
Speaking my language right now.
I know.
Let's go. I'm fired up.
And it's going to be Kenny Pickett going against the Buffalo Bills. So Andrew Filippone was on with you guys this morning from our sister station, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. I think it's 93.7, but it is our sister station, Odyssey station in Pittsburgh. And you know, he's a big Kenny Pickett guy. He has been. And sometimes I think he goes a little overboard, and it's probably on purpose. But he gave some great insight, and I think I do agree with him. One thing he said on the show earlier with you guys is Tomlin's great in these spots. He's always been great in these spots. They were great in this spot last year. They came to Buffalo underdogs in the opening week. And they won. And that was not a great Steelers team. And they beat the Bills here opening week. Tomlin is really good as an underdog. And look, I'm not telling you they're going to come in here and beat the Bills. The Bills are 14-point favorites, 14.5 for a reason, and they should be. But I don't disagree that I think the Steelers will rise up and play a competitive game here and give the Bills maybe a little more than people expect them to handle, because they're going to have a little bit renewed energy. They're going to have a little bit of a spark from Kenny Pickett. That happens a lot. You see it in you follow hockey, Joe, goaltending, right? I mean, sometimes you get that little bit of a spark when you get a change like that. And I do think they'll do a little bit more offensively with Kenny Pickett and be a little bit more aggressive. And that's going to put the Bills, you know, in a position where they're going to have to make a couple of plays maybe down the field. I am very confident in the corners. I'll get with them in a second. I want to talk about them today. But I mean, just the idea of Pittsburgh coming here with a rookie quarterback, again, I don't think it's, oh my God, the Bills are going to blow them out by 30. I don't see that.
Yeah. I'm also starting to get, I don't see that either. I'm starting to get a little bit of the same type of feelings that I would get about Belichick post Brady that we're now getting about Tomlin. That like, I don't really care that like their line's not very good and that they have all these injuries and they're missing pieces and the quarterback is so young and inexperienced, but like it's okay because it's Belichick. And in this instance, you hear a lot of it's okay because it's Tomlin. And now what Tomlin doesn't have that Belichick does is a large sample size without Tom Brady, where we have the record, we kinda know that all right, the super genius is not gonna cause the Bills to lose this game. It's not really a thing. And is that a thing with Tomlin? Can he overcome the fact that he has a team right now that really doesn't do anything well other than turn the football over? And they usually do that more often than not when TJ Watt obviously is in there. They can rush the passer with Watt, and they could turn the football over with Watt. Without Watt in there, I don't know they do anything well. They don't run the ball well. They want to be this physical run team, but their line doesn't allow them to do that. They have good pass catchers, and that's where the unknown of Pickett comes in, right? Like, they have good receivers, and they have a good pass catching running back, and a good young tight end, by the way, and Pat Freiermuth. So, in theory, you'd like to think, oh, they could be a competent passing team, but again, we just don't know what it's going to look like because we haven't seen Pickett yet. And then even defensively, I already talked about the turnovers, but they get run on and they get thrown on. Like, you can gain yards on them. They are bottom 10 in both of those categories. So I hear a lot of Tomlin's just going to figure it out. And I don't know if Tomlin's going to figure it out, because I heard that about Belichick a lot. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Belichick can't just figure it out. He needs to have good players. He needs to have, you know, good units. And the Patriots haven't had that, and it's why they've been an average team since Brady left. And it's too early to know if that's going to be Tomlin too. But yeah, I wonder if we're going to start to go through this journey with Mike Tomlin post Roethlisberger and think, yeah, you're not what you were with Roethlisberger. You're just it's not the same, I guess.
No, that's right. That's right. And again, especially without Watt, right? And Ingram from last year, he really, wreaked havoc on the Bills. Who else? Who'd they lose?
They still have Hayward though, don't they?
No, yeah, Hayward. Who retired though? Tuitt retired.
Yes,
Tuitt retired. That was a big loss for them as well. Devin Bush never really became the player they thought he would.
Yep.
When they drafted him, Yeah, they've been a little bit shaky in the secondary. Minkah Fitzpatrick's great, though. He is great. He is a great player. You have to account for him wherever you are on the field. I think the Bills should have an advantage in almost every area in this game. But for some reason, you know, I'm a big Mike Tomlin guy. He does sprinkle a little Tomlin magic in once in a while, right? But you're right about that. Like, it's different now without Ben Roethlisberger. Get back to that Patriots point in a minute, for a minute, too. Mm-hmm. So on Sunday, you know, I couldn't watch the Patriots game. We were flying back, but I'm following along, and I see that they're really playing like a close game against the Packers, which, by the way, I had them, right? Three Dog Thursday.
You did.
I called it, but I didn't call it because I thought it would be a lower scoring game, by the way. I thought it would be a really conservative, low scoring game. It wasn't. And they're moving down the field, and they got Bailey Zappe who's doing it. And I saw a lot of people going, well, this is Belichick. Look what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
My response is, what did he do? He does what it turned out to be what pretty much every other, a lot of teams do, which is, you could fight, but you wind up losing a close game in the end. And that's admirable, but that is not having Tom Brady and able to win those games and pull that out. So whenever I see something about like, well, hey, he had a third string quarterback, second string quarterback. Great. I think they did a nice job. Bailey Zappe, Devontae Parker, whatever. They did a nice job they did to stay in that game. But at the end of the day, I think it actually reinforces the point that you don't have Tom Brady anymore. You can't just show up and win those close games again all the time.
Yeah, Seattle's doing it right now with Geno Smith. Why aren't we hearing the same thing about Pete Carroll? Maybe we are a little bit. But no, I agree. And I also don't think Green Bay is that great. I think they're fine. I think they're good. And they're in a weak NFC. So they could even find their way still to the Super Bowl because of what's around them. But they don't look that great right now. Like, their defense is pretty good. But Rodgers does not have the same pass catchers, and it's evident. I mean, we've been talking about how the Bills are throwing the ball shorter the past couple of days. Green Bay is throwing the ball way shorter than I think even the Bills are. So I part of that for me is Green Bay's not as great as their reputation is. And yeah, same thing. Like, what did he do? He started running the ball more because Bailey Zappe was in there. Okay, wouldn't every other head coach in the world do the exact same thing? Because you have a fourth rounder in there. There's a fourth down decision at the end there where Belichick admits at least defeat. At least he gives away the win. He had a fourth down and I think four with only a couple of minutes to go in overtime. And he was on the 40-yard line. Like, the Packers' 40-yard line. It would have been like about a 60-yard field goal outside of his kicker's range. And yes, you have a fourth round rookie in a quarterback or fifth round, whatever he is. You got to go for that. Because by not going for that, what you are saying is, I'm playing for the tie. And, all right, Mr. Bill Belichick, he's the genius wizard, right? Like, he just punted on the win. Like, okay, I'm supposed to respect that as that's the best coach in the game right now? I think that was a brutal decision by him on Sunday. And if they go for it, you know what? That could have opened the door to you pull off a miraculous victory with Bailey Zappe and you get all the credit. But you didn't. You punted the ball back to Aaron Rodgers, and you gave away any chance that you would win that football game. So I don't know how we got on the Patriots here, but I'm always down to dunk on Belichick a little bit. So
that's all right. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Sal Capaccio here, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. A lot to get to on the Extra Point Show today. Tim Benz is going to join us. Tim, good friend. He's been on the program a lot. One of our first guests. I think TJ was the first guest ever, right? Was TJ Reeves the first guest or was Tim?
I think TJ was.
Okay, TJ was, and Tim was on that week because the Steelers and Bills played that week. And yeah, because TJ, it was the opener for the Bucks. We had Tim on that week because the Steelers and Bills had the opener. You and I had just started the show at that point. Tim's been on many times. So we can ask him what's going on in Pittsburgh. We'll have him on Trib Live, Breakfast with Benz. He does a lot of the stuff out in Pittsburgh, does pregame radio as well. So we'll talk with him about the Steelers. On Friday, we got a treat for everybody, Joe. Tracy Wolfson is going to join us. She's calling the game with Jim Nance and Tony Romo. So that should be fun to talk to her on Friday about the game. What do you think about Nance and Romo doing this game? Because I'm kind of surprised. Now, when I look at the schedule, I guess I see why, right? I mean, there's not a lot of marquee games for CBS. But, man, 1-3 Steelers, 3-1 Bills.
Let's see.
You know, not huge markets. I don't know. I mean, I was a little surprised. Chargers, Browns could have qualified here, I guess.
Yeah.
For that.
I think this kind of makes
Dolphins,
sense.
Dolphins, Jets even. Like, if you, you know, after the way that they've kind of both, you know, played, I think these are all, I think that's a CBS game that should be, but who knows.
I guess this one is okay. It's not great because the game might get out of hand, and it might get out of hand quickly. It could be like the Titans game, right? Where, well, I guess the Titans game was, you know what, a 3-point game at half? Or was it even tied at half? But it was close until the third quarter. This game, it could get out of hand quickly. And then suddenly, okay, we just put a blowout on national TV. But yeah, I get why. Because one, the Bills are an attraction right now with Josh Allen that everybody wants to see. And two, the Steelers are a big brand and a big fan base nationwide. And it's the first start for their quarterback, so there's a curiosity factor there too. So I guess not that surprising, but you're right. Like, the other games is maybe the bigger point. There's really no clear other option for anybody.
So Kenny Pickett is going to start here in Buffalo. As Joe just went over the list of former quarterbacks making their first start here in Buffalo against the Bills. I was wrong. I had thought that they would not do that to him. Now, I understand circumstances have created that Tomlin kind of has to do this at this point, but my thought was always, there's no way this will be his first start, right? But last week he went in, they felt that he played well enough, and you kind of can't do that now. You can't pull him after you go to him. I understand that logic. So it will be him playing. He is going to go against a secondary that, Joe, I would say to you, has not only exceeded expectations, this Bills secondary, the way it's currently constructed,
yeah,
but now might be considered a strength of the team. And I want to give a lot of credit to McDermott and Frazier for this, by the way, because why not? They've done this every year, haven't they? With no matter who's out there. I mean, sure, there's a play here or a play there you can point to, but for what they've done in the secondary with all different players, and now even without Micah Hyde and Tre'Davious White, to be playing the way they're playing, I think it's just remarkable. And of course it's on the players as well. Dane Jackson, you've called him, I love it, you call the Bills the defensive back whisperers or whatever, right?
Yes.
Leslie Frazier, yeah. Sean McDermott. I just think that if and when this team gets Tre'Davious White and Christian Benford back at the same time, who knows when that's going to be, like, you could make an argument, Joe, that they have the deepest secondary in the NFL.
I think it's right to say that they do when they're fully healthy. Because break down one by one, like, who the corners are and, like, what their ability is and what their case is for being on the field. So far, you've got, well, let's start with, White, because even though he's injured, Tre'Davious White's the alpha. When he's healthy, he's a top five corner in football. So he's obviously one. Then you've got Dane Jackson, who, even though it was a limited sample size, always looked like a starting caliber corner until this season. And he has only solidified that more with his play this year. Then Christian Benford showed up, started the first game, and looked good. I still can't get over, Sal, that it's a very specific play. The one play he had in the Titans game, I think it was the second quarter, where Derrick Henry was running to the outside, and it was Benford. Like, that was it. Like, everyone else was being blocked. Benford got past his receiver and tackled Derrick Henry all by himself for no gain. It was one of the most impressive tackles I've seen a corner make. So Benford's look good, and that's only one play. Elam, here's a stat from Elam. Against the Ravens, 43 coverage snaps against Baltimore, one target, zero receptions.
Joe, this guy, sorry to interrupt you, sorry, but this guy, this was the question, right? I mean, because he couldn't even beat out a sixth rounder. I mean, Benford starting, and I think most people understood. It's not because he was bad, it was because he just... Benford was so good, and Elam kind of hadn't risen to the point of what we thought the first rounder should be. Joe, he's been really good. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's the guy to look at and say, he went from one level to another, which really strengthened this point in that group.
I think, yeah, that's absolutely right. And the Baltimore game, so many things happened, right, that we've talked about, right? Like, you know, the fourth down decision by Harbaugh and the game management at the end by the Bills. And I don't know, like the short yardage passing. Like, there's so many things we've taken from that game. One thing that I haven't heard a lot of is the fact that Kyer Elam basically took away Rashad Bateman. I mean, he basically eliminated the Ravens' number one receiver from the game. Like, did Bateman do that much at all that game?
That's right.
And he's got 50 yards allowed on the season. That's it in terms of his coverage. So he's been great. And then that's four guys. That's four guys that all you would say are deserving of starting when everybody's healthy, so probably your rotation. Oh, and I haven't even mentioned the fifth name, which you might never even get to using him, but, oh, there's Xavier Rhodes just hanging out over there, like, oh, yeah, hey, what's up, buddy, a former All-Pro over there, and, you know, he was okay, actually, with the Colts the last couple of years, and he's the fifth guy in terms of the outside corners. That's it's an amazing revelation, because, yeah, you brought up with me and Jeremy, what was, like, the thing we were worried about or concerned about going into the season, and a lot of people's answer would have been number two corner.
That's right, and I don't think anybody is now, the way they've played. Now, look, they took on a Rams team that I think we're learning isn't as good as we thought they were. But they still had Cooper Kupp, and, you know, they were still Matthew Stafford, but their offensive line wasn't very good.
Yeah.
They took on a Titans team that was pretty devoid of much on the outside. We know that as well. Now the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they did have one big play. They held Tyreek Hill pretty much in check. Joey had, what, two catches?
Two catches.
I think Tyreek Hill,
yep.
Two catches, 15 yards, I think might have been the stat, if I recall correctly. They did have the one big play, and, you know, Tua went out of the game for a little while. He came back. I think that's a nice win for them. That's a nice game, considering what they had done even the previous week, what they had done up to this point. And then the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, downfield passing game, but in the rain. There are always things you could point to and say, well, how much have they been tested? Because, let's be honest, no matter what they do, they could go out there this week and pick Kenny Pickett four times and allow 100 yards passing. They could do that. No one's going to be truly convinced until they take on the Kansas City Chiefs in 2 weeks, right? I mean, that's what it's got to come down to. They're going to have to do it in that spot, or we're going to come back to, all right, well, maybe they're not as great as we thought or as deep as they thought.
I guess it's what you expect out of them. Because for me, I almost put the Chiefs over here as just like a separate thing. Like a big talking point, and there was some fact to it last year about them finishing number one in the league in total defense and across the board, like number one in DVOA. Like they were the number one defense last year. But a big reason for that, and I think some of this is fair, is they just didn't play top quarterbacks. They just didn't. They played Brady. They played Mahomes the one time. And who else? Like there, I'm trying to remember. There was one other guy I thought they was pretty good. But maybe not. Maybe that was it. Those two. They just didn't play guys. This year, they've been tested early in terms of that. Stafford would have been the third best quarterback they played all last season. So would Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson would have been the third best quarterback they played all last season. Tannehill probably wouldn't have been, but Tannehill probably was actually, looking at their schedule, the third best quarterback they played last season. So they've been tested at least in terms of who's on the other side so far. I guess for Kansas City, it depends what you expect. For me, I just don't really think there's a defense you can create that can completely stop them. I mean, you can limit them as best you can, and they did that in the regular season last year. But I'll make no judgment on what the Bills are defensively based on what Kansas City could score 40 next week, and I don't think I'd make a judgment. Kansas City just tore apart what we thought was the best defense in football, or one of them, in Tampa Bay. Am I supposed to think Tampa Bay's not a great offense or defense today because Kansas City ripped them up? Kansas City just going to rip everybody up. I think it's just a fact that you kind of have to live with that, you know, you're going to play them 10 times and 7 of them, even with the best defense in football, they're going to score 30 plus on you. So I guess, what am I doing? Am I setting myself up for a moral victory for the Bills defensively next week? But I'm not going to crucify them.
But I think
them.
That could be said about the Bills, right? I mean, there's somewhere there's a talk show host saying, hey, when you play the Bills, you have to accept they're going to score 30 on
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Really, like 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Chiefs could score 35 next week, and I'm not going to think the Bills aren't still a top 5 defense in football.
Well, the Bills take on the Steelers this Sunday in Orchard Park, 1 p.m. kickoff right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills will be practicing at 12:30. Before that today, we will hear from Sean McDermott at noon. I'll be a part of that. I'll be tweeting out what he's saying. We will keep an eye on injuries. We'll ask him about that. Tre'Davious White is eligible to start practicing as of today, basically. We'll let you know if there's any news on that. Marquess Stevenson, for that matter, as well. Before we hit this timeout, we get a lot of questions about Xavier Rhodes. Xavier, sorry, that's how you say his name. I asked him. Xavier Rhodes. So here's his current situation. He is on IR. I know it's practice squad IR. It's the same thing. He's on IR. So he has to miss at least 4 games, and then they can put him back on the practice squad or even activate him to the active roster if they'd like. Or, Joe, between now and then, if they feel, hey, guy came in, he got hurt, what are we doing here? They could give him an injury settlement and just waive him. I mean, they could do that as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. When people talk about Xavier Rhodes here, I want to say, let's put him off to the side and not think about him right now, because we don't know if he'll ever even be a part of this organization again.
And then he'll join the special list of guys that you can't believe practiced with the Bills, like Kenny Stills and Devontae Freeman, right? Wasn't Devontae Freeman on their practice squad?
Yeah.
So was
I think he was. That's
Anquan
right.
Anquan Boldin is probably the biggest name here. Yeah. But,
no doubt about it. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Tim Benz at 11:15. Aaron Judge, number 62 last night. We'll talk about that when we come back, but a lot more Bills and NFL to get to on the way on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.